Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
That's right, it's Haunted Playground, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. We're at liveparanormal.com, and we are at hauntedplayground.com, and I'm, of course, at sheenametalspiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium, an interfaith minister, a paranormal survivor, and here I am, a 26-year talk radio host at my new radio hub, the Live Paranormal Radio Network. So excited to be here. I've brought two of my shows over here, this at 6 o'clock Pacific time every Wednesday, Raising the Vibration at 5 o'clock Pacific time every Tuesday, and more shows to come. We've got a plan. I'm bringing more things over here. It's wonderful to be here, and here on Haunted Playground every week, I bring together what I consider the brightest, the most beautiful and loveliest minds and hearts and souls in both the paranormal and the spiritual communities, and then find out what they think about things that go bump in the night, about what exists outside of the three dimensions, all things, right? More things than heaven and earth. It, to me, the spiritual community, the paranormal community, really have the same goals, and I like to work on pairing the two of them by bringing together people that I know that are part of one or the other, but believe the two should live in harmony, and I love that. And my guest is absolutely no exception today. He's been a guest many times on my shows, Haunted Playground and my daily show, The Sheena Metal Experience, on my former radio hub, and I'm sure he will be back to do all of my shows here. He is a wonderfully talented investigator. He is a fantastic radio host. He is a wonderful television host. He is on one of my favorite shows right now, The Holzer Files, that I think I binged during COVID, as I'm sure everybody did, and a fantastic radio interview, wonderful perspective. He's worked with everybody in the community pretty much and has a lovely attitude about spirits and the paranormal and the spiritual, and I adore him. Please welcome back to Haunted Playground. The wonderful Dave Schrader is here. How are you, my friend? It's so good to hear your voice.
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for having me back. I appreciate it.
I always like having you here. You're one of my favorite people to interview, and I think you're fantastic. And let me say something really quick about the Holzer Files. I know we talked about this when the show had just started and you did my show, that Alexandra Holzer and I have been friends for a long time. So, of course, when I heard about it, I raced over there, not even knowing you were involved yet. I love it because, you know what, it's, Dave, it's so smart. It approaches the paranormal the same way that Hans Holzer did, right? Of course, Hans Holzer, iconic in the community, Alexandra's father. It really is paranormal for paranormal wonks who like their paranormal smart. And I love the intelligence of it. I wish every show in the paranormal world had that kind of intelligence. Was that something that drew you to it?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly had a lot of offers through the years. And, you know, they all ended up kind of being clones of Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures. And
absolutely,
although those are great,
yeah,
shows, it wasn't something,
sure,
I felt, you know, was needed, just another one. But when they reached out to me with the Holzer Files and the fact that we were going to have access to Hans Holzer, who is this legendary paranormal investigator, ghost hunter, and we're going to get access to his files and follow back up on them, because it was important for him to revisit these cases, because he knew that with every piece of puzzle that he had moved into place, another piece would reveal itself. So they would never fully be closed. And I love that we were able to take a fresh approach at doing these paranormal shows. And we treated it more like a true crime show, is the way I always felt about the Holzer Files.
Right. Which is, I think, what, you know, paranormal investigating, I think it's why we find that so many police officers and private detectives are involved in paranormal investigation, because it's the investigation part is big, right? I mean, it's like how they always say that what the show business is 90% business and 10% show. I think paranormal investigation is really 90% investigation and 10% paranormal. It's really about, do you enjoy the investigating? And are you interested in unraveling this puzzle and the clues and really feeling a lot like you're in a Sherlock Holmes novel? I mean, that's kind of what it's like, plus paranormal. And I think that Hans Holzer knew that, and he was such a pioneer. He was such a smart man. He was such a detailed man. And had it not been for him, I don't know where the community would be. I think it would be a very different community now.
I agree. That's why I was excited to do a show like this. Obviously, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who are two cutting-edge people in the field, you know, they got their due. There's been multiple movies, not just the Conjuring movies, but there's been multiple movies based on them and their lives. And that's, you know, Hans Holzer, who is really kind of the godfather of all of this modern wave, hadn't gotten his due, and I was really happy to see that he was going to be highlighted. And, you know, we pulled out two great seasons, 23 episodes. The guy has enough case files. We could go 20 years, you know, but it's just a fun show to be a part of, knowing that we're taking that legacy into the 21st century and beyond to, look at some of these great historic cases. And I guess fascination with the history and mine mesh up so well that's why I felt even more connected to this, because as much as the ghosts themselves are fascinating, the history and why there would be ghosts there were equally, if not even more, fascinating to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I love the structure of the show. And I wonder how much of that is your input, only because I love the way that you structure your radio shows. Think that when you're dealing with the paranormal, structure is such an important thing. I mean, I think it's always important. Structure and rhythm, right, is what makes a good radio show a good radio show. And the same thing with reality TV. But I think that because you are playing to two audiences, right, Dave, you're playing to people that know everything about the paranormal. They're your choir you're preaching to. They know how an investigation goes. They probably are investigators or have been on investigations themselves, some of them probably with you. They know every detail, so they expect every detail to be correct. But at the same time, you have this whole other audience of people that maybe have seen a Conjuring movie or have seen the Amityville Horror, and they don't really know about the community. They don't know how to separate what they see in movies from what is actually real in the community, and you want to make sure you don't lose them. And I think that's when the structure becomes so important, right?
Agreed. Yeah, the structure and the way the stories are told, you know, I give all the credit in the world to our showrunner and director, Rob Safi, and Jim Casey from Painless Productions. They're excellent at looking at a story. And of course, in order to sell a series, you've got to be able to say, you know, this is how the episode's going to go. And we don't know what the end result is going to be. But every episode we had a skeletal frame of, you know, we need to talk to a historian, a couple of experiencers. We need to, you know, just kind of that kind of cookie cutter element was good to have, knowing that these things would open it up. But they had no clue what the information was we were always going to get. And using the 15 years I've had of radio experience as a host, I've been able to dig a little deeper, ask a question that might have been overlooked, get an answer that really did open it up and or connect with what Cindy was finding. So what Cindy might have said, our medium, during the baseline investigation that made no sense to us, I bring it back to the historians and experiencers, and sometimes that would uncover a key element to the history and the haunt of the location. And I thought our team really worked well in concert with Shane's knowledge of the equipment, my investigative techniques, and Cindy's psychic abilities and mediumistic abilities. It really came together nicely. I thought it was a great embellishment to the Holzer method of investigation, plus getting insights from Alexandra Holzer on what her father was thinking and backsides of these stories, and Gabe Roth, our researcher. It really took on a life of its own, and I'm proud of that.
And I love that. First of all, I love Sandra is involved because not just because I love her, but because I love the idea of that paranormal legacy, right? That's the thing I love about John Zaffis is he's Ed Warren's nephew, right? He brings with him that legacy. I think it's very important that we remember these folks like Hans Holzer, like the Warrens, that were really out there as pioneers doing this when, number one, nobody really talked about it. It was kind of taboo and nobody really knew what they were doing. Everybody was just kind of finding their way through it. And the thing I loved about both the Warrens and Hans Holzer, about the Warrens, the fact that Lorraine herself was very psychically gifted. So she definitely brought that element to it. Hans Holzer, right, he worked with mediums. He brought in psychics. I mean, at a time where that was a very, oh my God, kind of thing to do. And I love that the show does that as well, because I remember a time, and you remember a time, and it was way before I came out of the closet as a psychic, when you didn't say the word psychic in the middle of an investigation or you got a lot of stink eye from people. So the fact that this show, and I believe this show will model shows that come after it, to blend those two things, because when you're on the investigation, it's good to know your stuff. It's good to know your equipment. It doesn't hurt to have a psychic with you, especially one that you trust.
Well, agreed. And I think the element that made it really hard on TV before is how do you hinge an investigation on somebody's quote-unquote feelings, you know, by, oh, I sense this, I feel that. Well, that's great, but as the audience, I have nothing to connect to that. But, you know, for all I know, you're just standing there making it all up. And that's, you know, the kind of the double-edged sword of being a medium on a paranormal TV show. People are going to beat you up and not believe you no matter what you do or say anyway. They think that you're, you know, given the information in advance. We would fly sometimes into another state and then drive Cindy 2-3 hours to the location. So she had no clue where we were going, just that it was on the East Coast, the West Coast, the, you know, the South, and had no concept of where we're going or why we're going to be there. But if the show's hinged solely on mediumistic ability, people would, you know, they have every right to be questioning what they see. But when we're able to go in, pick up on what the medium is seeing and sensing, going in with the files and knowing what Hans Holzer and the medium he worked with, kind of the base that they had put down, and then what can we do to build off of that, and can we corroborate what she's picking up, not by forcing round pegs into square holes, but by legitimately looking at these cases and the information that's given to us and see if it makes sense and maybe uncover another layer. And that became, you know, paramount for doing what we did. And because Cindy is so adept at what she does, it made the job even easier for all of us. And boy, she rocked our world at times. She would say stuff that after the baseline, we'd sit down with the director, Shane and I, and, you know, we'd be like, well, she said all this. What do we know about all this? He goes, I have no clue. I don't even think that's even going to play a part into the episode. That's so obscure. And then sure enough, it would end up being one of the pieces that we thought maybe wouldn't make it or wasn't important to know. And that would be the one that really kind of tied it all together.
Right. And that's the interesting thing. And, you know, I remember when I first started incorporating the paranormal onto my radio shows in 2009 or 2010 and interviewing people. And at that time, there were a lot of investigators saying, well, I don't believe in psychics. Psychics aren't real. Now, well, wait a minute. So we're investigating ghosts and the paranormal, and you're willing to believe that's real, but you don't believe that psychic mediums are real. I mean, I think that as people who work in the woo-woo, right, and if you're an investigator, whether you like it or not, you work in the woo-woo, it's very important to stay open to everything, but at the same time, have a certain amount of pragmatic skepticism about everything, because you don't want to become so crazy that you think a lawn gnome is a griffin in your backyard. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to be so skeptical that there's a spirit screaming at you and you're saying, oh, it's probably the EMF in the dryer. I think it's just so important that you kind of have to ride that line, right, of having sensibility, but also be willing to go out there and entertain the thought that something really incredibly bizarre is happening, as happens oftentimes on this show every week, right?
Exactly. Right. It's not closing your mind to things because it doesn't necessarily fit your paradigm. Sometimes you've got to look beyond your comfort zone, and that's where the real experiences lie. That's where the real evidence comes into play.
Absolutely true. Yeah. And what you said about the technical stuff, so my dad was an engineer, right? Hardcore atheist. I always say hardcore atheist as only a lapsed Catholic can be. And when I grew up, it was all about, you know, Isaac Asimov. And I used to say that my dad liked robots more than people, which I think was true. So we grew up in this really insanely active, negative, haunted house. And things were literally flying all over the house. And he was like, I don't see anything. You girls are crazy. You girls are crazy. That was always the answer. So in 2008, I was part of a paranormal documentary about a really haunted house in Southern Washington. And I took the movie back at Christmas and I played it for my folks. It had just come out. And, you know, my mom's loving it because she too is a psychic medium. So she's really trying to learn about the technical stuff. And my dad is just sitting there fascinated, right? Because for the first time, Dave, machines are showing him that it's real, and he loved machines. So afterwards, he looked at us with his totally straight face, and he says, you know, in that house, there was this Franciscan-looking monk, and he would come into my room every night at 3 o'clock in the morning and sit on the end of the bed and stare at me, and then 10 minutes later, he would get up and walk through the wall, but I didn't think it was paranormal. And my mom goes crazy, right? She's like, what did you think it was? We've been trying to tell you for 30 years. But for him, it was like it was in his face, and he, full body apparition, walked through a wall every night, and he completely dismissed it. And my mom's asking these questions like, how did it walk through the wall? How did it get in the house, Ray? I mean, she's really going for it. And his whole thing was it had never occurred to him it could be real until he heard an EVP, until he saw a camera capturing something. And that's just, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the evidence on the cameras and on the recorders, is that some people really can't believe it until they see that kind of what they consider evidence and proof. And then after that, it was like, well, I saw something somewhere. Well, do you have a recording of it for me? Because boy, if there was a recording, then it was real. So I think that's the important thing about having the equipment, is that it's the same thing about preaching to your choir and the people who don't know that I was talking about earlier. You have an audience that maybe doesn't believe the psychic, only believes what they see on the equipment. And fantastic, if that's what it gets to get you there, it's nice that you provide, not only on the show, Dave, but in the work you do in your life, in the community, you provide both of those experiences for people.
Well, thank you. We do our best to try to make people become part of the program with us, and, you know, feel like they're getting to go along for this, and that we're going to give them the ride. I think honestly, the Holzer Files has provided what I believe is some of the best evidence, photographic, video, and audio of the paranormal on any paranormal show. And, you know, and I love the other shows. That's not besmirching anybody else. I'm just saying, for our sake, I really believe that that show, you know, stepped it up and really taught quite a bit about how to look for the investigation, what new things and what new paradigms, what new tools and understanding should we have going into these. And, you know, that's, I think what the success of the show has been on is because of that, and because of the people that are involved behind and in front of the scenes, and so many of the great locations being willing to open their doors and allow us in to investigate.
Absolutely. And don't you, I mean, what do you think, and I'm sure everybody asks you that and it's on every radio show, but here I go again. I mean, do you sometimes just sit and chuckle and think about what Hans Holzer would think about what you're doing now? Not only, first of all, Alexandria getting involved, right? Because I think that was always his dream. And I know as a young person, she was very resistant to that. But also just that you, the amount of technology and equipment, what he could have done with all of that had he been alive and been, you know, of our generation.
Well, yeah, he actually, you know, we were the last radio interview that he did. Before he passed away on Darkness Radio. Yeah, and at that point in his career, he was definitely set in his mind that he was not a big fan of the new paranormal shows, that's for sure. He felt that they were too heavily connected to technology. And because he hadn't seen technology that could legitimately measure the paranormal, he was not impressed. He just believed all you need was a good transmedium. And that's it, you know, and then, of course, your audio recorder and camera. That's what he believed was the best way to go in. Now, he has since made himself known to his daughter, Alexandra, through technological communication. My mind is blank on it. I can't think of the name of the style, but ITC. And she has spoken to him and he has spoken to her coming through that. So, you know, obviously I think he is getting a bit of a kick out of the equipment now.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, cause I think he understands the way that this show is using the equipment. I would imagine he would not have been a huge fan of, you know, the kind of just reckless investigating, right? Looking for out of something rather than honest communication.
I mean, I think that is a good place too. I mean, you know, a lot of people have picked on shows that do that, but let's face it, you know, that's really helped to bring the attention to the forefront as well. And shows like Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State and Most Haunted and Dead Famous and all of them have always been really, you know, they may not be the most cutting edge when it comes to the history and the building of all the different blocks together, but they each serve their purpose and are entertaining as hell. And I think that's why Ghost Adventures is in like season 300. You know, they've proven themselves.
Ghost Adventures is working to outlive the Twinkie in how long it's been on the earth, which is fantastic. But I also think when you're talking about a Ghost Hunters or a Ghost Adventures or Paranormal State, we'll talk about Most Haunted in a minute because the Brits are very different. I think that you're looking at that kind of aggressive investigation, but done from an intellectual perspective, maybe not as heady as Holder Files, but definitely explaining what the evidence is, ruling out the things that can be ruled out, explaining the equipment, explaining the history of the location. I'm just thinking more when I talk about reckless, not so much even about the TV shows. It's just, you know, people considering anything evidence, not really knowing what's evidence. I tied two cans together with a string, and I'm pretty sure I talked to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, I think that's probably the stuff that Hans Holder was like, well, that's not, because he was so detailed in the way that he wanted things done. And I think if he had, because certainly, I mean, he was he studied like the ectoplasm photographs. I mean, he was really into investigating it all. Mm-hmm. So I think that had he seen generation two of what paranormal television has become, I think he probably would have felt very different about it. Now, Most Haunted was a hoot, right? And we all started watching Most Haunted, and I'm no exception. I remember one day my ex-boyfriend came to me and said, there's this thing on TV, I call it the glowy green eyes show because of the night vision camera. And I thought, well, what is he talking about? And we started watching it and we just couldn't stop. But I think the thing about that's so funny about, so great about Most Haunted is it is done from, I mean, it's good investigating, but done from such a sensationalized perspective because that's what the British audience wanted. And it's almost comical in the sense that they would do crazy things like, you know, put the makeup girl in Jack the Ripper's bathtub and see what happened, and she would shake and cry. And it's just done from a very British perspective. So I think when Ghost Hunters started, and I sort of consider that to be the next big thing after Most Haunted, it seems so scientific and investigative in comparison to that. And I think then the next generation was, then when Ghost Adventures came, it was like the next generation of that. And they, things are, all these shows leading up to something like the Holder Files. And I think things will continue to evolve in the community that way, which is wonderful because if things were de-evolving in the community, that probably wouldn't be as great, right?
Exactly, right. And there's been a lot of great changes. There's been a lot of entertainment value. I love the screaming and yelling and the running, too, because it's the human element. You know, people, I think, respond to that. You'll get the diehard paranormal investigators who roll their eyes and get huffy. But, you know, until you're alone in a dark room where somebody was murdered and this ghost is known to grab or claw or scream at you, you really don't have any clue what it's like to be in those situations.
No.
Till you're there.
No.
And then when something terrifying happens, it'll shock you. Yeah.
And you certainly don't have any idea what it's like to live in a home like that, as I did as a kid, where you don't have a safe place to go, right? Because if we're at the Stanley Hotel getting the crap scared out of us, Dave, we go home to our homes, and then that's where we feel safe. But when you live in a haunted house, there's nowhere to go to feel safe. And I love that so many different shows have gone out to people's homes and really worked with the everyday people that were also terrified to live in their homes and to go to businesses and hotels and deal with the employees that are terrified to work there. But there's something about it happening in your home, the feeling that you can never leave. Now, have you ever lived in a place that was haunted that you lived in?
Yeah, actually, the house just before this one was very haunted and creepy. And then the house that I grew up in was haunted. There was a lot of weird things that took place and, you know, were unnerving. Nothing threatening, you know, just footsteps, voices. You know, you'd be in one room and hear people talking, and the next you'd walk in that room and there was nobody there. So that kind of stuff. That was, you know, that was more unsettling than anything.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Medina, Illinois. So it's about 22 miles west of Chicago.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is. My ex-boyfriend that I was speaking about, the glowy green eyes guy, grew up in Prophetstown.
Oh, okay.
So not terribly far from there. Yeah, it was the cornfields for fun. Let's hang out in the cornfields.
Yeah. And having, you know, had those experiences and, you know, the like I said, the house I grew up in was very haunted. The house that we lived in just before moving into the house I'm in now was crazy haunted. We had a lot of weird experiences that took place from, you know, my wife and I hearing a male voice talking from different rooms when nobody else was there, to our boy Max would hear laughter coming from underneath his bed, or he would see a shadow leaning out of his closet, and it really freaked him out. So
yeah, that's not good.
You know, we had a bunch of those kind of weird things pop up, you know, throughout. And then my last night in the house, literally we had moved everything from one house over to the new house a block and a half away. And I was doing my radio show at the time. I was hosting Midnight in the Desert, and it went till 2 in the morning. And I was wrapping up that show, and nobody else was home. Every other room was empty except for my studio in that other house. And we were going to break it down the next morning and move it over. And as I sign off and I'm sitting there, I hear a door shut, and then I hear people walking around. And I thought, oh, maybe my wife and kids came over. And then I'm like, no, man, it's 2:30 in the morning. So I text my wife, where are you? She goes, at home. I go, did any of the kids come over? She goes, no, everybody's in bed. And I was like, oh, boy. So I thought somebody had broken in. So I ended up calling the police. The police came out, and, you know, I whispered to them through the window the key code to get into the house. And they came in through the garage, did a sweep of the entire house, and then came upstairs by me and said, nope, there's nobody here. You know, maybe you're just hearing things. And, you know, I don't want to talk about ghosts with the cops because I don't want them to think I'm nuts. And I'm like, oh, maybe. It was so weird. And as we started talking, they could hear footsteps walking around in the house. And they stopped and they're like, shh. And they go, stay right here. And they left the room and went down looking. And they came back up there like, nobody's in this house. Every door and window is locked. Let's get out of here. So we all left the house. So, yeah, I mean, it was very strange, haunting, and I have no clue who was there or why.
Yeah, isn't that – and sometimes I don't know that there necessarily even is a reason. I mean, who knows why? The house I grew up in was kind of in the outskirts of somewhere between Baltimore and the Pennsylvania border. So, you know, out in the woods. And it was all kinds of stuff from the – the house at the bottom of the hill that used to own all the property, the farmhouse, they hid Confederate soldiers because Maryland was very Southern sympathizing. There was a really creepy river that ran right behind the house. There was the Maryland School for Boys on the other side of the river, and they would escape all the time and steal our cars. There was just a dark energy. The people we bought the house from were horrible alcoholics that would get drunk and try to burn the house down. So, I mean, there was, you know, layers upon layers upon layers. And you can live in a house and all those things can have happened, and there's not any activity in the house, right? I mean, it's kind of like, I always say, because we moved there to California, and I grew up in Huntington Beach, which is the surf capital of the world. I always say it's like surfing, right? Five surfers bobbing in the water, exactly the same wetsuit. A shark comes and bites someone's foot. Why that one and not the others? Sometimes it's the answers just because, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if we all had the answer of why one of us has the experience and the other one did, we're all wishing we were in that position. And we knew the answer
right.
of why that happened and how it happened, but sadly we don't. That we're left sometimes with more questions than answers in that.
Now, how much of it? Because this is kind of a weighted question in the community, right? How much of the activity that you see do you think mm-hmm. is actually negative? And do you differentiate between the word negative and the word dark? Because I think when we're in the community, right, we spend a lot of time explaining to folks that don't know much about it that, you know, if your faucet turns on in the middle of the night, it's not a demon. You know,
right.
if something,
right. I try
you
to
know, something...
be very, yeah, I try to be very pragmatic about it that, you know, and working with people, sometimes I'll walk them down to make them feel a little bit better from their experience. And one of my favorite kind of examples is this woman had contacted me and she was very upset and excitable. And I said, well, what's going on? She goes, I think I have a demon in my house. And I said, okay, well, you can stop right there. You don't. And she goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, you don't. She goes, I haven't told you anything. I said, you told me all I need to know. She's like, what? And I said, you think you have a demon.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, I do. I said, if it was a demon, you wouldn't be left wondering. You would know. But go ahead, tell me why you believe it was a demon. I just want you to, you know, I told her, I just want you to kind of follow me on why I'm asking that question. So she goes, on my wall, I've got a collection of collector's plates. And kind of the highlight was this collector's plate from my great-grandmother. And I said, okay. And she goes, we were sitting there, and it flipped off the wall. I said, oh, really? Okay, go on. Yeah, and it shattered on the floor. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, my grandmother's favorite plate. Okay. Did it shatter into pieces that made 666? No.
Right.
Did it shatter on the ground and look like a pentagram? No. Did the shards jump up in the air and fling themselves at you and try to impale you? No, this isn't a joke. I said, I know it's not, but I need to know why you believe it was a demon. Well, they broke my great-grandmother's plate. And I said, so right. Let me get this straight. You think in hell this morning during roll call, the devil was leading his minions and said, hey, you go start a war in the Middle East. You go jack up oil prices. You go break great-grandma's plate. And she kind of laughed. And I go, do you realize the absurdity? Because a plate fell off the wall, you think it's a demon. But it's my grandmother's
right.
favorite plate. And I go, okay, so tell me about this. Where did your great-grandmother get this plate? And she goes, well, she got it as a wedding gift from her mother-in-law. And I said, and were they close? She goes, oh, no, they couldn't stand each other. And I said, so maybe it's great-grandma's way of saying, let's get rid of this stupid plate once and for all. And she started laughing. She goes, you know, that sounds exactly like what my great-grandmother would have said. And she would have never thrown it out because she didn't want to bother my great-grandfather. And then it just got passed down through the family. And I said, so have you ever had experiences before it? No. Okay, so since the plate, what other things have happened to lead you to believe there's a demon in your house? Bad smells? Were you woke up, you know, hovering above your bed, speaking Latin, anything? No. And I said, all right, well then, you know, give me a call in a week or so. Unless things get worse, let me know. She called me back a week later. She's like, you were right. I think it was my great-grandmother just getting rid of the plate that annoyed her. And that was the end of the story. So it's easy to jump to a conclusion because something unnerving happened and you attach it to something important. You know, that plate was picked out. Of all the plates, that one was broken. Well, is there another reason why? You know, my hair got tugged. Okay, but did it get tugged like somebody was trying to drag you to the floor, or was it like a little yank like a kid. Well, kind of more like a yank like a kid. I go, okay, so it's not really a demon or an evil entity, but it's definitely something was trying to get your attention. Yeah, but that freaks me out. I'm like, okay, well, then tell the ghost, please don't touch me. That freaks me out. Is that all I have to do? I said, in my experience, yeah. If you know, if it's not a malevolent spirit, they don't usually want to scare us. And if you let them know what they're doing and the impact they're having on you, a lot of times they'll back off or yield. And, when I did the Holzer Files, our very first episode we filmed was at the Whaley House in San Diego. And
yes, intense
I got
there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got knocked on my butt by something. It felt like somebody tackled me from the side, lifted me up into Shane, who was up against the wall. So luckily I had that bumper cushion, but I hit Shane, hit the wall, and then hit the floor. And I turned around and I was like, what just happened? I'd never really put much stock into people saying they'd been touched by ghosts. I thought one of the cameramen must have come up behind me in the dark and tripped and fallen into me because it was that heavily weighted and those cameras are big. So I figured it was one of that kind of jostling, boom, right? And they go, no, everybody was fine. And I could see that when I turned around. So it was really unnerving. Now, it'd be really easy to say this was a demon. What I think it was a very irritated ghost who has lived in relative obscurity. Somebody started calling him out and challenging him. And I think he was just letting me know we're not all that, put me in my place. And thankfully, from my understanding, nothing like that has happened again since. But, before me, people had passed out in that same place. Some kind of energy had affected people. So I don't jump to the demon.
Yes. Well, I have a friend that was a complete disbeliever and went to the Whaley House, and a spirit literally moved right through her. And that was sort of the beginning of her no longer being a disbeliever. Because, when something moves through you, you feel it, right? And it can be terrifying. No, I completely agree with you about the demon. And when people come to me and ask, oh, I want to see a demon, first of all, I say, no, you don't. And then when people say, I think there's a demon in my house, I would say, if there's a demon in your house, you would know. I mean, even in that house I grew up in Maryland, I mean, certainly there was not a demon there, but there was darker energy. And man, we were all sick all the time. We were at each other's throats all the time. Weird things would happen, like snakes would come up to the window and like knock on the door and drive the dogs crazy. Copperheads would come knock their heads on the sliding glass door. Like there was crazy stuff happening there, but even that wasn't a demon. I mean, on the very, 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 very rare case that you have a demonic in your house, I mean, it literally destroys your entire life. And I don't wish that on anybody. And you shouldn't wish that either. You should go, oh, great, if a demon came to my house. No, that would not be good. And although I do get the urge to smash a commemorative plate, because some can be very obnoxious, like you said, like a demon's got time to do that, right?
Right, exactly. So it's funny that it gets to be that way and people want to jump to those conclusions, but we've been trained by Hollywood horror movies.
Yes,
and our first reaction is to jump and scream and it's got to be something evil. Sheena, you and I have a different perspective. There are people out there. I just got an email today from a listener and a viewer of the Holzer Files. And with your permission, I'll read it real quickly.
Please, yes.
It says, my name is Shannon. I'm a fan of the show, The Holzer Files. I wanted to try and help clear up some confusion I see on your show. I don't know if you believe in the Bible, but it says when we die, the soul goes back to the God which gave it. Our spirits do not get trapped or lost on earth. This is why in almost every near-death story, the person goes to heaven, where they feel love and peace of a sort of hell, where they account for the suffering that they experience. I feel sorry because I've seen you guys cry because you feel a spirit is separated from a mom or dad. This is not true. You must understand that one-third host of heaven that fell are the ones deceiving you guys. They can take any form, and they know all the history of Earth. They feed and live in places of anger, pain, lies, and fear. They want attention. They want people to give time and energy to them. And most of all, they want people to believe that those we love can be lost. It is a true psychic energy that can turn into a residual haunting, but spirits do not wander or get lost. Do not let the demons deceive you. So it's an interesting perspective and certainly makes sense in that version that she tells, but I've gotten beautiful messages from these spirits that are lost. And I just have a hard time that it's just a bunch of demons trying to fool us or just looking for attention. Because if they were looking for attention, there's other ways to get it, not by giving messages of love and, you know, and kind of the ghost whispery feeling of, you know, you once you kind of help these spirits and then they cross over. You know, Hans Holzer did that. He would go in with these mediums. They would channel. He would speak to the spirits, tell them, you're dead. This is no longer your place. You don't have dominion here. You need to move on. And the spirits would let go. And now those same locations are not having problems with the spirit that they did when Hans Holzer were there. As a matter of fact, they haven't had any activity of that type again. Something new is making itself known. Another part of history. And that's what we tackle. So in my eyes, I see the point this letter writer wrote about. I can see that concept, but that's not my reality. That's not how I perceive the paranormal. There's no one answer, I think, that sums up and defines ghosts, what causes them and why they're there. So I believe
a lot of it is
time slip phenomena. I think we're bumping into alternate timelines or our own timelines. I believe that there is residual spirits. I believe that we do have free will and that spirits can stay and might get lost because they forget where to go or how to go. So I do think that there are different aspects to hauntings and how they work. But, you know, I mean, certainly you can make a point on any occasion towards what you believe spirits are.
Absolutely. And like you said, some are just residual energy. That's very common. They're just an imprint. The soul is no longer there. I do believe there are some spirits that are trapped, but not nearly as many as we think. It's been my experience from, you know, my mother and I were like soulmates. And everybody says, oh, when they die, it takes 3 months for them to come. My 45 minutes later, that woman was in my driveway like, hello, I'm back. And sometimes she's with me and sometimes she's not. So clearly she has some place she goes and does her thing at home. And then sometimes she pops in, sometimes when I need her and sometimes just to laugh. Sometimes when I'm doing a reading, she'll pop in and give her advice like she did when she was alive, unsolicited advice. And sometimes, you know, she's checking in. But then sometimes in the beginning, she was with me all the time, most of that first 6 months, most of the first year. But now she does other things. So this idea that spirits immediately cross over sometimes not. The idea that they're trapped here, well, but maybe some just go home and then they come back and they wander around that haunted house for whatever reason, but I don't know that they're necessarily trapped. You know, I had my friend Michelle Bellanger yesterday on my Raising the Vibration show from Paranormal State, and she and I were talking about this idea that a psychic walks in a place and says, I'm going to cross all these miserable souls over. We were both laughing, kind of like, well, who asked you? Sometimes maybe they're there because they just want to be there. Maybe it's a place that made them happy. I had a friend who lived in the Hollywood Tower. Talk about haunted, right? That place. And I think a lot of those spirits, that was just their happy place. They had just come here. It was old Hollywood. They had dreams of becoming famous. I think it's just where they wanted to be. And there's nothing wrong with that.
A lot of people will ask us, do you do anything to help these spirits cross over? And, you know, we do. We don't show a lot of it on TV because mostly it has to do with prayer and religion. And it's really strange, and I know your listeners may find this hard to believe, but people love ghosts and the concepts of ghosts and demons, but you bring up God and angels and it pisses them off. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want prayer put down their throat. But when I do leave every location, I don't know that I actually have any ability or power to clear a ghost. But what I've done, not for one specific spirit, but I usually will pray and I'll say something like, Lord, I just ask that you know, send down the Holy Spirit to baptize each of these rooms in the blood of Jesus Christ to set free any spirits that are lost, wandering, or stuck. Bring forth their friends and relatives. Open the light and let them find their way home. I ask that you don't leave these spirits unattended to. And any spirits that want to leave, help them, Lord. And I pray this in your name. Amen. And I do that simple prayer in every location I visit. I've been of the mind that, you know, what power do we have, you know, human, and is it egotistical to think I'm helping? But we were at Bobby Mackey's Music World doing an investigation, gosh, 10 years ago. And
amazing.
We had we had one of the spirit boxes going, and we had cleared out for the night. There was just a few of my friends still down in the basement near the well, and they were trying to communicate, and they were getting, you know, all the noises. And I said, all right, I'm going to go make sure everybody else is gone. You guys will wrap up here in a few minutes. They said, great. And as I start walking out of the room, the spirit box says, Schrader. And I stop for a second, and I'm like, I must have misheard that. And I start walking, and it goes, Schrader. And the group goes, Dave, I think you're being asked for. So I walk back over, and again, I'm trying, did it say traitor? Did it say greater? Did it say something that sounds like Schrader? And we're misinterpreting it because it's that robotic voice. And I said, hi, I'm here. I'm Dave Schrader. Did you want me? What can I help you with? And the only word that came out was pray. And I said, okay.
Wow.
Do you want us to pray? Help. So we all held hands in a circle, and I led that prayer that you just heard me say. And not a sound came from that spirit box during the entire prayer. And then when it was over, it was just silent. And I said, I don't know, and I can't see if you're still here. I don't know if that did any good, but I hope that it did. And then this one word came out, and that was it. It just said joy. And then it went
beautiful.
Dead. And so
beautiful.
I think when you've got these people coming together with this like mind, setting the intention, you know, I don't think God leaves us here unattended and not cared for. But if we choose not to go, I think that, you know, sometimes those spirits, according to people like Marianne Winkowski, the real life ghost whisperer, and James von Prague, sometimes we're here so long that that light has closed. It still exists, but we've kind of forgotten about it. It's like becoming nose blind to a bad smell. You know, these spirits can't find the light, so sometimes they have to be directed back to the light, and that will help them. So I don't know how it all goes, and, you know, people want to fight about it in 14 different ways, but I just say there's no harm in me doing that closing prayer and asking for help.
Not.
So that's how I deal with every location that I go into.
Well, and whatever your spiritual ideologies and cosmologies are, you should do the prayer that suits you. The only important thing is that you pray. Because I'm an interfaith minister, and I have folks say to me, well, do you know what prayer do I need to do? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you do. It only matters that you do it. If you find yourself more in the indigenous Native American culture, if you're more pagan, if you feel more comfortable with something very New Age or Buddhist, whatever it is, the most important thing is that you just put that white light intention out there. And if old-fashioned prayer is your thing, let me tell you, being a paranormal investigator has made me a lot more of an old-school prayer than I used to be. I even wear a cross around my neck now, which I never did before. So has being an investigator, because you've been doing this for decades, Dave, has it strengthened your spirituality? Has it altered your spirituality in any way?
You know, my spirituality vacillates. I've always been spiritual in nature. I believe there is a God. I don't always agree with the way he does things, right? But it's also about perspective. When my mom died 5 years ago, I was very bitter, very angry. I had to go up and give the eulogy, and I was ready to go up and curse God. And my co-host and best friend and longtime collaborator, Tim Dennis, said, Dee, what's wrong? And I go, dude, my mom busted her ass for 35 years as a nurse. She served other people, took care of them, let them have a modicum of decency and respect in these situations when others had forgotten them. And my mom lived to serve people. And she was, dude, she just retired, and then to have cancer and be gone within 90 days. And he said, well, let's look at this. You're mad at God. Why? And I said, he robbed her. He said, dude, she had a son who made her proud, and she loved him. She had met the man of her dreams, and she spent her life with him. She loved to travel, and you and your dad and your mom traveled and saw all over the United States, and they did it two or three times a year. And although they drove each other crazy, they loved each other immensely. And your mom did a job that she loved doing. She loved serving these people and making their life better. And your mom got cancer and didn't spend the next 2 years wasting away. Your mom found out she had cancer and was gone in 90 days. Dave, that's a pretty good way to go. Knowing that you've lived a life filled with love, surrounded by love, and getting to see and do things, your mom had a pretty remarkable life. And that gave me a new perspective and a new way to look at things. So, like I said, I don't always understand why God chooses the way he does, and I have questions regarding that. But I've learned that there are aspects of us that far expand beyond just the physical realm here. I did a journey on ayahuasca last year, and although I was not and I am not Catholic, I had a very religious experience with the Virgin Mary. And I'll tell you, I dropped to my knees. Now, I am fully aware I was high as a kite on ayahuasca, and I'm fully aware that what I was looking at and bending and kneeling in front of were towels on a rack in the shape of a nun. Conscious of that, but I was conscious of the fact that I was being made aware of this for a whole nother reason. And I was in the presence of this spirit. So I had the duality of knowing I was on a journey, knowing that I was tripping on ayahuasca, knowing that I was looking at cotton white towels, but I realized that something was there with me greater than who I was and was there to let me know I'm not alone. And it wasn't my mother. It was, I believe, the Virgin Mary. And that, to me, was pretty startling. I realized, you know, it could be whatever you want. I also was connecting with animals, and I would connect with the coyote, and all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, my God, this must be my totem. And I would hear this voice say, no, stop trying to fit things into tidy little capsules. Oh, my God, I'm the eagle. I must be connected to the eagle. And after three or four of these, this voice of exasperation is like, shut up. Shut up. You're not one of. You are all of. You are a part of each and every individual thing that you're encountering. And that spoke volumes to me. And it was so beautiful. It was an amazing, enlightening, educational moment that just blew me away. And I was profoundly changed by it. But I do believe in God. I do believe in angels. As a matter of fact, there's an episode of Holzer Files Season 2, Forever Home, that we captured this amazing ghost that I can't explain, but I think it's an angel. I think that what we caught is a visage of an angel, but you know, was it the woman on the stairs or was it an angel there? It's in your interpretation, but either way, it brought me comfort to know that something, we came into contact with something and it let us know that we were not alone.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I feel the same way. I mean, I think being an investigator has made me more metaphysical than I've ever been, but it also made me more, it kind of put me back to my Christian roots in a way. I mean, not in a way where I don't believe in a lot of the things Christianity has done in the name of Christ, but certainly there's something about the teachings of Christ, and there's something about dealing with archangels, right? The more you get involved in this, the more you realize how important all of that is. So, and then I think being a minister, you know, as well has made me more, on one hand, more aware of what everyone else's beliefs are, but has also strengthened my beliefs. And I think that's part of it, because I think the more spiritually connected we are, the easier it is for us to communicate with spirits that need help or guidance, or just for someone to believe in them, to help other people to believe in them, whether it's a family member or somebody who works in the place where they are or an audience watching a television show, right? I mean, it's just spreading belief for the entire community in general. It's what we as humans want, and I believe it's what the spirits want as well.
I agree. And, you know, you just have to – sometimes you just have to shut up and listen, and you'll get to hear what the spirits are telling you.
Best advice in the world. When is the Holzer Files? When is the new season? Where are we at right now with the new season? And
well, it's
and
been weird.
Amazing.
Season two started in October, the week before Halloween. It ran for until the first week in December. Then they took us off and put us over on Discovery Plus, their live streaming network, and we moved over there. And they started airing the rest of the like 8 episodes in I want to say March. And then that ran out, and now they're airing them on Travel Channel. So I think you can find, I think they're on Saturdays. They just put them back on regular TV on Travel Channel. So they're on, you should be able to find them on demand on Travel or on Discovery Plus, and, you know, give them a watch. I think they're, I think it's a great piece of mind candy as opposed to mental bubble gum. I think it's good mind candy. It gets your juices going and will engage you in a lot of different ways that you might not have had with paranormal shows in the past.
I love that. I have not watched the second half of the second season, and I'm very excited to do so. You were wonderful. Will you come back and do this again with me? It's always a joy to have you here.
Oh, Sheena, I think out of 15 years, we've connected 5 or 6 times over these years, and I'm always happy to come back and visit with you.
I love that. I hope let's not let another 3 years go by before we do it again.
Okay.
I'll try to stay more on it, my friend.
Thank you.
Where can people find you and everything about you?
You know, the best place to find me is on darknessradio.com. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm Darkness Radio Dave. So if you go facebook.com/darknessradiodave, all one word, you'll find me. I'm also at Darkness Radio on Twitter and at Official Dave Schrader on Instagram. And we're always doing fun things. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, Thursday night, we're going to be doing the a live special. We're going to be talking with Steve Shippey and Cindy Kaza about their documentary that's on Discovery Plus right now about Ed Gein. It's called Ed Gein, the Real Psycho, where they get to investigate Ed Gein's property and investigate the haunting and history of this, you know, serial killer and the guy that inspired Norman Bates and Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs and Leatherface.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be great. Tomorrow we're doing that live at night, 9 o'clock Central Time on Darkness Radio YouTube channel or the Darkness Radio Facebook pages. So they can, you know, just check in. They'll find places to find me anywhere.
Wonderful. Thank you, my friend. I can't wait to have you back. And I'm such a fan of yours as a radio host. It's always nice to talk to another radio host and have a nice, intelligent conversation. And I appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you and keep doing what you do.
Thank you, my friend. The wonderful Dave Schrader, everybody. If you missed the links for him, or anything else you want to know, you can find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. You can find this show at HauntedPlayground.com, and you can find the Live Paranormal Radio Network at LiveParanormal.com. I'm a psychic medium, an interfaith minister. My service is at SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. I'm a staff pastor, the interfaith pastor at the Founders Church of the MCC denomination, Metropolitan Community Church. Also, if you want to book a reading with me, a healing, you want to know about the crystals that I blend and cleanse and bless and charge, if you want to know about anything I'm doing, animal communication, house clearings, just send me an email, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com, or better yet, send me a text message. I'll give you my cell phone right now. I must be crazy, but I'm doing it. 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. Don't forget Haunted Playground every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, Paranormal Network. Also Tuesdays at 5 o'clock on Live Paranormal is my Raising the Vibration radio show. And don't forget I do 3 video shows for them Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night at 9 o'clock Pacific Time. That's I Am Raising Your Vibration, Haunted Playground After Dark tonight. And Fridays is the soulmate experience. Until I see you next time, my friends, do these things for me. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, have an open mind. These are the things that will help you to raise the vibration. Stay spooky. Keep letting me know what's happening to you beyond the three-dimensional realm. I love to hear your stories. I love to chat with you. If you need to reach out to somebody about something scary going on with you, you've got my cell phone number. Please reach out to me. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm honored to be here and honored to be a part of the Live Paranormal family. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week, 6 o'clock Pacific time on Wednesday for Haunted Playground. I'll see you tonight on Live Paranormal's video channel for Haunted Playground After Dark. That's at facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. Stay spooky, my friends. I'll see you next time. I appreciate you.